You're listening to Flagler in Focus, the podcast that gives you a behind-the-scenes look at the people, programs, and projects shaping Flagler County. I'm your host, Karen Callahan, and today I'm joined by Don Foley, the communications coordinator for Flagler Schools, to talk about what's happening across the district, how they're engaging with students and families, and what the future holds. So let's dive in. Welcome, Don.
Thank you so much, Karen. I appreciate coming. This is a great opportunity. The podcast has been a big hit. We've been listening to it at the school, so thank you so much for having me.
Excellent. All right, so let's dive right in. What led you to a career in communications and public information, and how did you end up here?
Well, for communication, actually, I've started in media. I've always wanted to work in journalism to start. Originally from Northeast Ohio. Family moved south when I was in high school. But as a kid in Northeast Ohio, I was raised in a family with three much older brothers. And they were very loud, and they always got to say things first. They ordered food first. They told stories first. They told on me first.
Oh, dear.
And so it got to a point where it's like, you know, I want to be heard. And so at a really young age, one of the first things I did, my mom, I remember, had a big, you know, the adult tricycles. They're big. They usually have like a basket in front. It's something you'd almost see like a grandma riding.
Okay.
Big, huge type. It's a bicycle, but a tricycle.
All right.
And so I had this idea, because I'd seen it on TV, that there was such a thing as paper boys. Well, our little neighborhood where we live in Northeast Ohio didn't have paper boys. So I was going to write my own paper.
Oh,
make my own newspaper.
Of course, because why not?
I took pieces of paper and a crayon, and I made up some stories, and we didn't have a copier at the house back in 1976. And I made four or five copies by hand, and then I rolled them up, put them in my mom's basket, and I rode around to the nearest neighbors and put them on their front door. And of course, the very first day, my mom got calls from the neighbors saying, I think Don just delivered us a newspaper. And so it's sort of all history from there. So,
what type of news would you report upon? Like, is it?
Well, the only thing I remember from it, and this is the best, is when you're 4 and 5 years old, this is what's funny. I remember watching the news with my dad, and I was always intrigued. Right before they go to commercial break in local news, it was Cleveland, Ohio's market. They would show the stock market numbers. They'd go say, now the numbers from Dow Jones or whatever the measurement was back then. And they would say how many shares were traded that day,
mm-hmm.
millions of shares. And I was always just enamored with the fact that, man, trading chairs, that's a lot of chairs. Somehow that's worth a lot of money, and it's important. It's in the news.
Yeah.
So I remember making a little graphic that I drew with a crayon.
And
it was pictures of chairs like stacked up on one another. How many chairs were traded that day? Look, you're four. It's you get what you get. It's like, I can't say the news is accurate, but you know, it's sort of like, if it's on the internet, it's true, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
I think so.
So from there, actually, I got into journalism, went to University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, did journalism there, and got into TV news and promotion for some network affiliates in Charlotte and then in Chattanooga. And that sort of took me into a world of where it was ready to take the next step into media and go to a much larger market, or just look for the next opportunity, and had a big heart for education. And the region we were living in at the time in Northwest Georgia had a two-year system, a tech college system. And so I went to work doing communications for them for about 15 years, ended up becoming very useful now working through K-12 here in Florida. And ended up here, gosh, about 4 years ago, working with Flagler County Sheriff's Office, and then in turn, Flagler Schools. I will say, though, you know, coming from a college background and going through K-12, it's really been helpful having that kind of background and being able to bring it into this office, simply because so much of what we do at Flagler Schools is looking beyond the diploma, not just graduating, walking across. The superintendent likes to call it Diploma Plus. We're glad your young man or woman got a diploma, but now what are they doing with it? And so much of that leads into career tech and the degrees that you're going for. Are they actually leading to careers where you want to live? Is it going to be here in Flagler County? And then accounting for all that. So having that kind of background and actually being able to bring it on the front side when you have an 11th grader or 12th grader, and being able to find a way to just, you know, promote and push the programs that actually are going to make a difference. It's been a full circle kind of moment.
That's awesome. So can you share a little bit about your role as communications coordinator for Flagler Schools? Like, what does a typical day look like for you?
By far and away, the first thing is just to assess all our channels of communication, from emails to voicemails to anything that's going to allow me to hear from families and students. It's students first in everything we do with the job. So anything that's impacting a student, we're addressing immediately every day, and we're wrapping our day that up that way as well. So you'll get a lot of comments from families. You know, we'll answer something maybe just as basic as I know the county has as well. We have a contact us page on our website. Mm-hmm. So we'll get a lot of those emails. And quite honestly, I think what I really enjoy is being able to make those one-on-one contacts with families, because people that have went so far as to scroll to the bottom of a website and say, mm-hmm. I'll just click something, I need help. I mean, I take a lot of pride in that, so I reach out to them right away, and I've got a lot of good feedback, so I enjoy doing a lot of the feedback with families that way and helping them out in different situations. And as Karen, you probably learned as well, you know, there's so much you still have to learn about the county and how mm-hmm. the systems work. And so you learned this one thing, that which we already knew coming into these jobs, which was they just want to be heard and cared for. They just mm-hmm. want to be tended to and take care of them and give them priority. And so much of it is, I can't help them on the front end, but I can say, I hear the problem. I'm going to check into this. I'm going to call you right back. I'm going to find out for you. Mm-hmm. And so it's, although I'm dealing with 13,000 plus students and all their families, every
Is that
day
how many
starts
students
it's
for real?
Over 13,000.
Wowza. That's a lot.
Absolutely.
How many schools?
There are 9 brick and mortar schools, and then we have iFlagler, our virtual school.
Okay.
And then, of course, Flagler Technical College. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just over 13,000. And no, Carlos is our producer here. He does not have to go and teach any of the classes. But if you wish, there's always a place for you. Flagler forward, my friend.
Excellent. So can you highlight some programs that Flagler Schools is really proud of?
Well, the biggest one by far and away, for just a ton of reasons, as I talked earlier about career tech, is our programs of study. And we have, gosh, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of a dozen in each of our high schools, as well as we have different classes available at our middle schools. So when you think programs of study, if you're my age or older, and I'm just going to let you guess how old I am. If you're my age or older, you remember them as, when you were in high school, they were electives. Mm-hmm. They're things that weren't math, English, and gym, right?
Yeah.
So now there's such an emphasis now on putting people in classes that are going to lead to a career that's going to help them be successful here. They're programs of study. So like FPC has aeronautics, agritechnology, allied health programs. They have their fire academy, their fire leadership academy program, which is a big one, veterinary assisting. Then you go to Matanzas, and it's Army JROTC. They're building their construction technology program, which is about to get a brand new $18 million home. Not the only thing there, but it's about to do a ribbon cutting on that. Cybersecurity, digital media, hospitality and tourism, obviously huge here. So those kind of programs lead to exactly what we want, something that's going to lead to a life, a career beyond the diploma stage, beyond the graduation stage, which we always look so forward to at the end of every year. The one number that we like to go back to and why the program study are so important is from 7th to 12th grade, stats for us show that in Flagler schools in those grades, if you take at least one program of study class between 7th and 12th grade, there is a 99% chance you'll graduate from high school.
Oh, wow.
Just to be exposed to one of them at least one time has that level of impact. And it's one of those numbers when you hear them, it's like, I don't know that apples equals apples in this, but we can prove if they've taken that class, you're pretty sure that they graduated and they made it across that stage. So we definitely push hard on programs of study. And it's big for us when it comes to looking beyond graduation night and working within the community. Superintendent Moore is huge on community engagement. And so we've been tasked with doing a lot within our community, whether it's businesses that are going to need that next generation workforce, or if it's one of our fellow schools that are out there that aren't within the system, doing whatever we can to help grow everyone and get into where this county's moving in the right direction versus sitting still. That's very important to us.
I like how a lot of these programs have such a vocational value to them as well. You know, it's not all just philosophies and arts and science. You know, I see what did you mention? You mentioned like human services, hospitality and tourism, health science.
And the big thing for that is, you know, when we were younger, a couple of generations ago, you went to high school, the stigma was always if you heard about a tech education or going to a 2-year school, you would always hear a reference from, well, sometimes maybe a student isn't cut out for college.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these options. Mm. No, that's college too.
Yes, absolutely.
So the colleges that'll train you in these. And of course, we partner with Flagler Technical College within our system. And FPC and Matanzas, it's just a head start. These guys are graduating and they're halfway to a degree. They're halfway to a career. And so it's really important for us to make sure we're capturing all these students as young as we can, finding out their strengths, their likes, and the things that are going to work well for them and helping them with the things they need to grow in. And then hopefully in the end, we're bringing out a really well-rounded person who has a passion for something and it's growing Flagler.
Yeah, and then for those students that are ready for college, it looks like we have a variety of availability for them to have either dual enrollment or receive college credit.
Absolutely. Through our IB program, through our ACE program, there are tons of opportunity. We have freshmen coming in to our schools each year that are getting accepted into these programs. And by the time they're graduating, they're finding out they're halfway to a college degree if they're not into at least a two-year degree already. Mm-hmm. We've had many over the years who have graduated with a high school diploma and also a two-year degree.
Oh, wow.
And so it's one of those things now where that's not as eye-popping as the fact is it's becoming more commonplace. And because of these programs and the way that we're able to manage these, and we have students and families with a passion to go through them, you know, they're halfway through to their career with, you know, no debt, if little, maybe little debt at all.
And that is extremely helpful.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, can you let us know about any upcoming events that you have?
Well, obviously, if we're here towards the end of the school year, we're looking at graduation, but a lot of different things that we do here towards the end. And big ones we look at are things like Walk the Hall events, which a lot of the locals have heard about that over the years, where we bring the seniors that went to their elementary school. They will go to their elementary school they went to kindergarten at and walk the halls, and all the elementary kids will give them like a little parade and give them high fives. They make signs for them. And it's really absolutely just an emotional moment for them. They do that to all the elementary schools. So Matanzas and FPC seniors get together. That's coordinated by all the student activity staff that do those usual organizational events like Ivana Frederick over at FPC, Ms. Novak, Kara Min over at Matanzas. And they help put these kind of things together. And so there really are just these special full circle moments. And you know what? This is just my second one that's coming around, but we're already looking forward to it. I know there was one event back home that we would do in Northwest Georgia where I was from that I'm sure they're brainstorming different things. And they get real creative with these. And the one in Northwest Georgia that I always pushed was a small high school in a rural area. They would always do a thing where they met on the football field. They would take the kindergartners to one side of the football field, the seniors to the other, and they would meet in the middle. They would give them like people to look for, like Billy Smith in kindergarten is going to be your guy, and you handwrite him a letter, and in turn the kindergartner writes them a card, something special where it's just a full circle moment where you see, hey, the community's growing, they're doing it together.
So let's shift to student focus, since you know it's all about the students, it's all about our children. How are student voices heard in decision making?
Well, for us, the big thing is, I talked about our Contact Us page that we have all our families reach out to us on. Mm-hmm. The students use it too. The students use it quite a bit. And we always know because we'll get their contact information. It'll be a student email address. So we do have, that's one way where we'll hear from students primarily. And of course, our administration at all our schools are amazing. The kids always are very open to speak with them there as well. And then of course, on our student board, we have a couple of student board members from Matanzas. We have Jahani Strong and Danny Nieves from FPC. Huge student leaders in their community. And as a result, in our school board meetings, they actually have a voice. Now, they don't have an actual vote in the decisions that are made in the school board meetings, but I will tell you that every one of our board members listen closely to them when they speak. They have comments that they make at each meeting, but every now and then we will have a topic that comes up where one of the board members will reach out, one of the elected board members representing our community, and say, we need to hear what they have to say. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a lot to say, and we have a lot of thoughts and feelings on this, and we have heard from families. We have two living, breathing students here that are mm-hmm. leading the way, and they get to have very important voices at just key times, it seems like, and it's really nice to have that option.
That's great that we do that.
It's absolutely wonderful. And I'll tell you what I like is it doesn't appear to be just this, oh, here's an honorary thing.
Mm-hmm.
The very first thing they actually had to do was we worked with them on a video saying goodbye to our longtime board member, Colleen Conklin, which I think Carlos, the producer, actually helped us out with. We shot it down here in the county chambers, and they helped do a documentary where they were the host. So it was basically like this handing off of the torch. They were interviewing the six-term school board member, and they're brand new, and it was all under the understanding that, hey, we're new to this. What can you hand down? What information can you share with us to teach us so we can pick up the torch and move on? And you know what? It was just a video project for myself mm-hmm. and something to share the story of Colleen Conklin. But I really feel like they took a whole lot out of it and they ran with that.
That's awesome. I love it. All right. As far as community engagement, how can parents and community members get more involved with their local schools?
Well, by far, our SAC PTOs reaching out to each one of those at our schools, they're very active and they meet on a very regular basis. So you just reach out to the main office at your schools. And then as far as being engaged with us, we have lots of opportunities where we're actually out taking part in community events. And then we host some of our own events throughout the year. Big one that's coming up that we really encourage people to come take part in is our Back to School Jam, which they've done for quite some time now. I think we're going on year 14 or 15. Have to ask the old director, Jason Wheeler, for a count on that. I think we're at 14. And anyway, so we'll get a request from somewhere.
So is that just like a huge, like,
huge?
Yay, it's started. School's starting. Let's have fun.
I'm going to go ahead and describe it in a way that the Flagler School locals, it might not be more for them, but for the new residents that always seem to, we have tons that come into the area, into the community, and they want to know what Back to School Jam is. It's this. It is a very large basketball gymnasium with somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 vendors. They are just one right after the other after the other. You're in there for about an hour, hour and a half, and it's everything from every wing of our school system to every community organization that plays a part in providing needs and services for your student to just actual organizations that just want to be a part of what the kids are doing there at Flagler Schools. And last year, I think our head count was well over 2,000 that attended.
Wow.
It was a flood of people. There was a line waiting outside the gymnasium. There's the Andy Anderson Complex. They always call it the Building 8 Gymnasium over at FPC. They know it by their numbers on campus. So if you're an FPCer, it's Building 8, but it's the Andy Anderson Complex. And the line outside of the door before we opened, it was easily 600 people long.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
Part of that is all thanks to the Flagler County Education Foundation. They're pivotal in so much that we do and providing the needs that we have. And so at that event, they actually help by putting together book bags that they give to all the families that come through while supplies last.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like they last almost the entire event. And they're filled with just about all the things a child will need for their school year. And so that's always a really popular part of that as well. But it's very much probably the biggest community engagement piece that we do. So anytime we have someone who says, hey, how can we play a part?
Mm-hmm.
First thing I do is get them in touch with our community engagement director, which is Carrie Henderson, and have them speak with her, get all their information. And the very first thing the two of us mention is you need to come be a part of the Back to School Jam. It is a huge, huge honor just to be there, be amongst those families, you know, trying to get their kids through and just help build that next generation of not only student, but it's our workforce. It's our next Flagler County resident.
And that's open to all school age students?
Everybody for Flagler Schools. It's open to the public.
Okay.
But as far as the ones that, you know, you can get the free book bag mm-hmm. with all the, and take that kind of thing, that's going to be for the Flagler School students. But as far as all the vendors and people who are there and wanting to take part and help contribute to be everything from maybe a particular music camp, or maybe it's someone that's, we're doing a karate classes, or it's just a vendor that's going to help with your just school supplies in general, that's definitely a place for them to be and they interact with the students and the families directly each and every year. And a big piece of that is we also do we have a transportation wing that is there. So all the families that are just now learning about, okay, my child's bus route is X, but I have a question about something to do with the bus, or I have a question about, hey, can I be on a different bus maybe, or hey, what is that arrival time, because that's really hard, maybe it's really early in the morning. Whatever questions you might have as a parent, there are people there to answer those questions. So please know, we've heard the most serious of questions to the most, wow, that was pretty interesting question. I don't think I've ever thought of that before, but I'm glad they asked. So whatever kind of inquiry you might have about your child and getting them to and from school safely, so they have that just safe learning environment experience, you come to that event and you ask. It's a wonderful opportunity.
And usually that event's in August, July or August?
That is August. We'll actually be setting the date for that here in the next few weeks, but okay. It's always right, it's a Saturday right before school starts, which is in that first 2 weeks of August.
Okay. And how would people be able to find out more information about that?
Back to School Jam, we will push everywhere. So
everywhere
from radio to all our social media channels to the school social media sites to our websites. And then, of course, you can actually call. I'm fairly sure I'm the only Don in the entire government services building, number 2 here in Bunnell. So call the Flagler County School Systems, call the superintendent's office, and ask for Don. I'd be more than happy to give you any information like that that you need.
Well, be sure to share that with us so I can share it on Flagler County socials.
I absolutely will. And of course, I know you'll be there. You'll be in attendance. So I'll be looking forward to it.
Taking photos. It'll be great.
That's right. Excellent. Excellent.
Well, Don, you were talking to me offline before we start our podcast that you do enjoy your trivia.
I love trivia. Big fan. Big fan.
Big fan.
If this is Flagler Schools trivia, I might be in trouble. I'm still a work in progress.
True or false? Flagler County once had only one public high school.
True.
I don't know if it's true or false.
It has to be true because one surely was done before the other. I have learned that there was Carver High School and there was Bunnell High School. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Well, it was Bunnell, right? Because Bunnell High School is where Bunnell Elementary is. So it wasn't an FPC yet. Flagler Palm Coast was 50 years ago and on 100. That's the only place it's been. Is Principal Bobby Bosterdet has been training me properly, so I have my history right on FPC and all things Bulldog.
It is true. Flagler Palm Coast High School was the only high school until Matanzas opened in 2005.
Oh, that'd be a Palm Coast question, maybe, because Flagler County had Bunnell High School and Carver High School before that. Is this one of those Wikipedia things? Because it's there, it's true.
Yeah.
This is great.
Can you name all Flagler County public schools in under 30 seconds?
Okay. Matanzas, Flagler, Palm Coast, Indian Trails, Buddy Taylor, and then their partners, Wadsworth Elementary, Belterre Elementary, Rimfire Elementary, Bunnell Elementary, and the Owl's Nest, Old Kings. But then don't forget, we also have iFlagler, so you know, they're out there floating
yes,
in cyberspace.
You did get the last one.
But Flagler Technical College, don't forget them.
They are
our partners in crime and making all this happen.
Well, you said it so fast, I don't know if you got them all, but sure. Why not? It was really impressive, though.
I had to be close. You know, if you start asking me, like, really quick, give me all the principals' names, I can do it, but I have to think about it and get them all right.
Okay. What school in Flagler County has a mascot that is not an animal?
I can say all of them and then decide. Well, that is not an animal. That's a bulldog. That's a pirate. At Matanzas,
yep,
a pirate.
That's right. That's right.
I can go through I know my mascots. Now, what I do need, though, and it's the least important thing I know, because we're building culture here at Flagler Schools.
Of course.
But being someone who's from more of a landlocked region, I was very excited to move somewhere where there's a lot of water and thought there would be tons of mascots that were waterbound.
Oh.
We have a pirate, and Pete's great, fantastic. Yeah. And then there are a bunch of just, you know, they're great mascots that, you know, are there sharks? Can we get a stingray? How's this work? But then again, you got to think like this. The culture that's been built, you're really going to replace a bulldog? I don't think it's going to happen. I'm pretty sure the bulldog is a way of life, baby. But that was just a personal observation when I first moved here before I joined the group and realized all the culture and the importance behind each one of them.
Yeah.
I know Atlantic High School in Volusia, right? They're the sharks. I think they're the sharks. Seabreeze has the sand crabs. I remember seeing that. I thought, that's pretty cool. I don't have any other.
Yeah.
So we'll work on that. Maybe the next school will be something exciting.
I don't know. What do we have? We have turtles.
Ooh.
Killer whales. Right whales. The right whales.
Together we can figure this out.
We'll set up a separate meeting.
But it's going to have to be a new school. It's going to have to be a new school because the bulldogs and the pirates aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, that part.
They're set.
Okay, Don, what was your favorite subject in school?
My favorite subject in school? Wow, it had to be English.
Well, that makes sense.
It's funny. It's like my first year in high school, English, I was like every other freshman, just trying to find your place in the world. Being 14, 15 in high school, it's nerve-wracking enough. So English was, wow, I had a very serious English teacher, Mr. Bivens, and he
remember the name.
Woo! He didn't play, and it was by far and away my worst grade that year. But I loved it. What he didn't know was I really enjoyed the things I learned, and it was a challenge. So it really made me drive a little harder. So then his sophomore and junior and senior came along. Really looked forward to it, and so became a thing for me. Probably English really close behind it, there was actually a law class that was like a program of study at my high school. It was a law and justice.
Ooh.
And it was actually very funny because at the time I was one of the many, many students, the people that are in my age range, remember the Columbia House, but get 12 records for a penny.
Yeah.
Well, I was one of those gentlemen that did that. I filled out my little card and got my 12 cassette tapes for, for all the kids out there.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to know where their money was.
Yeah.
Well, I had just learned in my law and justice class.
You're under 18.
That you cannot bind a contract with a minor.
You cannot bind a contract with a minor.
And so I sent a letter back that said, I apologize for this inconvenience, but I do want to let you know that I had learned this. And in turn, they sent me a voucher for 3 more free cassettes and said that would end our contract once I got 3 more. I guess I was so creative. I got 3 more cassettes and it's over.
That is very smart, Alecky, of you.
Well, you know, I really feel like if that had been my kid, I probably would have been like, you know, you're going to go mow the lawn and pay these guys. Though yeah. I thought I would be really cute and, you know what, I've learned something today.
That would be a great, like, scene in a movie. A movie about your life. So, Don, if there was a movie about your life, what actor would you play? What actor would play you?
Oh, my gosh. I've never had that question in my life. I don't know.
There's a first time for everything.
What actor would play me? It's going to be somebody. I don't think it has anything to do with the way he looks, but I just like the way he speaks and his character style. Vince Vaughn.
I can see that. I can totally see that.
I really enjoy that. I can't tell you how many times as I'm trying to brainstorm some sort of thought process, all of a sudden in my head, it sounds like Vince Vaughn talking just 100 miles an hour.
I can actually see that. Knowing what I know about you, I can totally see that.
That works. And he and I, we definitely were one and the same in so many ways. Well, not really, but there you go.
If Hogwarts had a satellite school in Flagler County, which school would it be and why?
Oh, wow. I will tell you right now, it would be all of our schools. Because the one thing I learned right away was, you know, when you're marketing and selling communication or anything, I mean, county government's got to be the same. You try to put out the same message. You want to speak with one voice for everything. And the one thing I learned right away was each one of our schools are their own little houses or communities.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. Completely different. They all have their different strengths. They all have their different things they're known for. And so very much they'd all, I just have to come up with 9 names. Absolutely.
No, I hear you though. I agree. And on that note, Don, that wraps up this episode. So I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate that. And I'll have to be ready for more trivia next time.
Yeah.
I always love Flagler Schools trivia. It helps me polish up and get better and better.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you everyone for tuning in. And don't forget to follow us for more conversations about people and programs shaping Flagler County. Until next time.